from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Cole Bishop. It is a shoulder injury for Cole.
It's a day-by-day process, as I say all the time. We just got to continue to stack days and get ourselves ready for when the time comes that we're actually going to keep a record.
No one has earned a job yet. You know, everyone's fighting for a job. So, really just coming out here, competing every day, trying to get better, trying to, become a better version of myself, try to help this team as much as possible.
But I'm happy where we're going at the defense.
Mike Danger.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar.
It's a lot of fun. It's a privilege to be out here. Hopefully you're enjoying the content. We're enjoying giving it to you and providing you with it.
Gene Battaglia.
Zubez. Zubez. That's why I want Josh to come out with, 2 years ago, the red helmet. Last year, something metallic blue. Like, if he came out with, gray or silver or really, let's step it up here.
Zubez would be the one, yeah.
Zubez.
I'm actually going, no helmet tomorrow.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You got your question in. You got your question in during the Josh Allen press conference.
Yeah, but he didn't answer it. But Josh is being playful.
No helmet.
Gotta have somebody. Like, Josh does this to have a little fun with the fan base. This happened 2 years ago because all the talk was, Bill's red helmet. And he came out and the red helmet from the Kelly era, and people lost their minds. And then last year came out in the metallic blue. Do you remember that? I'm like, oh. Okay, that could work with a red jersey.
I'm putting my foot down. On a day where the Green Bay Packers unveil a white helmet.
White helmet.
Completely unnecessary. What are we waiting for? What are we doing? Let's get that red helmet on these guys, and let's make it happen. You don't have any rules, no restrictions, nothing holding you back from doing it.
Well, I didn't know you could still make these announcements in training camp. There was last year a point where we said, okay, here's all the different helmets and the different uniform combinations that you will see.
Right.
It got excited. Now, we keep getting these things kind of trickling in, so I'll ask you the question, Danger. Is there some sort of secret unveiling tomorrow night at the stadium? I would think no.
No, because you want to be able to, you want that ramp-up period. You want to get people excited about it. You want to sell the merch, right? You want to sell the merchandise and
well, what better way than, hey, here you are the season, and we're going to wear these against the Dolphins or whatever it is.
We talk about it every year. I feel like every year at this time, we have the same conversation. We see all the other teams unveiling all of their alternate uniforms and helmets, and not that we need the Bills. It's a classic look. We don't necessarily need the Nikeification of the Bills kit. We want the helmet, the red helmet. One game a year, I think we would all be satiated.
You brought this up to Duffy, right? The Zubaz? What was his reaction?
Oh, my God. I thought he had a stroke right there on the air. He lost his mind. He's like, if that happens, that would be amazing. Can you imagine?
Well, the Bills do incorporate Zubaz. No, they don't. Oh, yeah, they do. I'm looking right now at the signage here at Grownie Stadium.
Yeah.
Welcome to Bills camp, and it's got the Zubaz pattern.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, let's have a little more.
You could do it. You could absolutely do it. You could also bring back the red helmets. I mean, completely unnecessary that Green Bay is going with an all-white helmet. So if that's the day that we're in today, let's go ahead and get a red helmet going for the Buffalo Bills. A little throwback to the Kelly era Bills. I'd love to see that. But we will see these guys on the field at Highmark tomorrow for the return of the blue and the red. They were on the practice field, of course, today here at St. John Fisher University as we continue our coverage of Buffalo Bills training camp live from St. John Fisher. Today's practice without Cole Bishop. We learned earlier today that Cole Bishop is week to week now with a shoulder injury suffered on Tuesday. So the rookie going to be rehabbing that shoulder, trying to get back on the field here at some point this preseason. We also know that safety Mike Edwards, with his hamstring still out of action as well. Same goes for Chase Claypool and his toe. Ty Johnson trying to work through that hamstring injury, all missing practice today. Good news for the Buffalo Bills was that after the scare on Tuesday with the heat-related illness that sent him to the hospital via an ambulance, offensive lineman Alec Anderson back at practice and didn't appear limited in any way.
No, so that's fantastic news. 11:45, I believe, or is it 11:15? Sunday morning is going to be
11:45.
Yeah, it's going to be a little later. So, Sean McDermott, very smart when he came on. There used to be night practices here at Danger. Of course, there used to be 2 days, but when you're practicing in the morning, it's a little cooler. The chances of a pop-up thunderstorm are much less, as they tell me.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, though. They do push it off to one afternoon practice on Sunday. I predict with that it's going to be jumping here on Sunday.
I think so. And boy, it is fleeting because after Sunday, you've got to close practice to the public on Monday. And then you've got Tuesday as a day off, Wednesday, Thursday, and they pull up stakes a week from today.
Yeah, I thought Mike Catalano asked the question to Josh Allen, like, how you can't please everybody. You certainly want to sign for everybody, but you don't want to be, the person that leaves a kid hanging or anything like that. And Josh is like, hey, they're trying their best when they're coming out here. I would say this, too. It may not be Josh Allen, but if your kid comes out, I think – chances are, if they're polite and they wait it out, they'll end up with an autograph from someone.
Yeah, it really does feel like they make every effort they can to put as many smiles on the faces of the kids as they can. So I don't fault the players, and I don't know that anybody is anybody is that a. I mean, I know that was at one point that was kind of a, hey, what the hell? I brought my kid here. We couldn't even get an autograph. I don't really hear that much.
No, I don't either. They used to have the autograph tent. Remember, coming over in the autograph tent, and like they do it. You know, that didn't come back after COVID, but really, the way it's kind of configured now, if you're coming, you've never been. My advice would be before practice ends, just line up on the fence around Grounie Stadium, the stadium they don't use, and the players will come out there, and that's a good time where players might sign, and you don't get a lot of time with the players, but you got a good chance there.
I've seen some wild contraptions. Kids will hold their hat down with a Sharpie and the string, just, as they're coming through the tunnel, they'll sign it.
The football, yeah.
Yeah, so, look, there's no shortage of creative ways to get that autograph if you're seeking it for your kid here at St. John Fisher. And, again, they'll be back here on the practice field Sunday morning, late Sunday morning, 11:45 for the start time on Sunday. And I think you're right, Juno. I think it will be jumping. All right. We mentioned the injuries to Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards. Let's get a little bit more in depth and in detail with that position. Later on this hour, we'll be joined by the host of the Locked On Bills podcast, Joe Marino. We'll get his thoughts on not just Bishop, Edwards, and the two new signings that Brandon Bean has brought in here to camp over the course of the last few days. But we'll also just take a deeper look at some of these position battles here at St. John Fisher for Bills camp. We also heard earlier today from Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, his second press conference of Bills training camp. And we can talk a little bit more after we hear the words of Babich on, what this might mean for the safety position here and the defense through the preseason. This is Bobby Babich earlier today, live from St. John Fisher University on the Fan.
Bobby, from what we saw on Tuesday, Von Miller had a great practice getting after the quarterback. I know it was a third and long day, but how have you seen him progress over the last week?
Von's a pro. He goes about his business in the manner of exactly what he is. He's a veteran. He's had a lot of success in this league. And the thing I'll say about Von and all these players in the league that are to the stature of a Von Miller, when you talk about his past accolades and those type of things, they're there in the position they're at because of that extreme competitiveness and conscientiousness. And he knows what he wants it to look like. He wants to help this team win a Super Bowl more than anything. And that's clear from discussions and the way he goes about his business. And, you know, it's a day-by-day process, as I say all the time. We just got to continue to stack days and get ourselves ready for when the time comes that we're actually going to keep a record.
And Bobby, how concerning is the safety situation now with you got two guys week to week?
This is the NFL. This is the NFL, and next man up. That's what it is. I learned a long time ago, and specifically here in Buffalo, when I was coaching the safety, things like this happened all the time. You guys might not remember, but guys would be in, guys would be out. It's what it is. Next guy in. That's why we get paid, to have the guys. It's a lot easier to coach guys that are veterans and have kind of established themselves and have a lot of reps. And Sean said it before that, like, we're going to take great pride in really weighing ourselves as coaches on the development of the guys with less repetitions or the opportunity for a backup to come in and play when things like this happens and play at a high level. And that's what our jobs are as coaches. So no panic, no nothing, next guy up, and we'll move forward. Whoever's available on the days we practice, we won't flinch.
Is that why, what you just said, you get a guy like Kareem, a guy like Terrell, you know, they've been in the league a little bit, they can adapt to different environments. Like, is that why you bring those guys in this time of year?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon's looking just to fill our roster in the right way, you know, and I'll be honest with you, Kareem specifically is a guy that I've admired from afar all the years of me in the secondary and the way he plays the game and the way he goes about his business and, you know, those type of things. So that's kind of a side note on, you know, my view of Kareem. But in the end, Brandon's going to make the decisions that are best for us, and we're going to support him. And really happy those guys are here and we get an opportunity to work with them.
Well, Bobby, when you have two safeties come in after camp starts like Kareem, where do you start teaching them defense?
Kindergarten. I mean, that's what it is. Just the nuances. Like a guy like Kareem and even Terrell. Terrell's been in the league a while. And, shoot, I remember doing him when he came out of Utah. And identified him as a smart player. You know, a lot of guys that come out of Utah, I'll say it, Morgan Scalley does a great job. Those guys are pretty schooled up when it comes to football. And, you know, you start at the base level and just see how quickly they pick that up. And it's just a feel. It's like a teacher, right? You get a feel for your classroom and, oh, we can move on. The pupils are really understanding what we're talking about. And there's a lot of check for understanding as far as our teaching goes. That's part of the process, and that's part of what Sean believes in. It's not just teaching, but we got to check for the understanding first before we can move on.
What can Smoot do for you guys on the defensive line?
I think the biggest thing, and I'll never put an expectation on a player of what to expect on tape and all that. I have an idea, but I'm not going to do that. But a veteran presence who's a smart football player who's seen a lot of football, guy that plays the game the right way, plays like he has a chip on his shoulder, and he probably does have a chip on his shoulder. Matter of fact, I know he does. And, you know, the expectation is that he brings that. Not that he gets this many sacks or this many tackles, this many TFLs, this many quarterback hits, but that he comes every day in a consistent manner in the way that, you know, we'd like him to show up to work.
Back at safety, when you're in a situation like this, can you kind of tell us a little bit about how Cam Lewis kind of fits in and can play multiple versatile roles, especially when you need bodies at camp?
And Cam provides that value. Shoot, I don't even know. I told you guys in terrible years. How many years has Cam been here?
Six, I think.
Six. So he's played a lot of different positions. He came in starting out as a corner. This was 6 years ago, a corner and a nickel. And now he's kind of transitioned. You guys see the way Cam plays the game. I don't care what he's built like. You know, the guy plays the game the right way. He's a smart player. He's very intentional about his practices and the way he comes out here every day. And Cam's turned into a true pro and brings some value in a lot of different ways, not necessarily nickel and safety and corner and all kinds of different things he can do, but he does bring value to us in the way that he's a nice puzzle piece.
Devon Solomon, what's been your impression of the way he approaches the game? He seems pretty mature for a rookie.
Yeah, and I think you know how I'm going to answer this. I've answered the rookie question. I mean, rookie's a rookie. That doesn't mean they're doing well. That doesn't mean they're doing bad. There's still an adjustment to the way the NFL game works and the way we go about it and those type of things. But up till now, Javon's doing a nice job. There's a lot of room for growth. But Javon's a good football player. I mean, he's a good football player. He's a very good student, you know, not only with the coaches, but he uses his vets is constantly picking their brain, and that's an impressive thing. But, you know, like every rookie you guys have asked about, he's got a long way to go, and I'm excited to see his growth with the amount of work he puts in.
Dorian Williams is a pretty good size for a linebacker these days. Yep. Just how do you feel about his versatility to play strong side in a 4-3 front with when required?
What strong side?
Well, be on the tight end side of a base, 4-down, 3 linebacker.
Our linebackers, the best way I can answer this is our linebackers are all versatile. We're not... I think, you know, and I've talked about this in past years, but look, the NFL's going in a different manner. We've got to be good enough to stop the downhill run, and we've got to be good enough to play in space. So we are, you know, I think you've seen over the last couple of years the way we've gone about it. And we need space players that can play physical, and that's a unique skill set, and we try to identify it, and Brandon's done a good job. So all our guys have to be able to do those things. Again, this should be a plug-and-play defense. A little bit that's on us as coaches to make sure these guys are ready to go, and a little bit's on the players. The more you can do, the more opportunity you're going to have to play.
And then a parameter that is, like, I don't know the numbers. I'd have to look it up. But there's a little uptick in 13 personnel by offenses. I mean, yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah.
But, you know, is a challenge to practice base 3 linebacker sets in the NFL these days to get enough reps?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're in a unique package, and I'll frame it a different way, right? Goal line. Goal line is going by the wayside. Teams are more spread out. You're getting more 11 personnel, maybe 12 personnel down there tighter in the red zone, even on the 1 or 2 yard line. So, like, we're going to do our best to get enough reps at whatever package we are in. To where we can master that to the best of our ability, and that's our job as coaches to identify that. And our staff does a great job of that. Of they're constantly throwing things at me in a great way of, hey, we need to make sure we're getting enough of this, we're getting enough of this. You know, this is my first time at doing it. We got guys that have coordinated, guys that have coached at a high level, been in the league a long time. You know, your Al's and your Joe Dana's and... you know, so those guys have been around it a lot, so they're great sounding boards and really good coaches. And I'm just lucky to have those guys to help me with those type of things.
Cole's going to miss some important reps, in particular for a rookie. What's the challenge of keeping him up to speed with him not being on the field?
Yeah, being creative in the ways we can keep his mental on point and, you know, finding different ways to make sure, although he's missing potentially some time here, is – you know, just making sure mentally he's staying in it. He's got the right makeup. We identify those guys, and, you know, he will, knowing Cole, he'll do everything that he needs to do to make sure he's still in it mentally, and I know Joe will keep him along those lines too.
How has Matt progressed even since the last time that we talked to you?
He's doing a good job. He's doing a good job day by day. He's doing a good job. Just keep stacking days, get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, and he'll be just fine.
Bobby, if you can go back to what you said about, you know, it's almost like positionless defense. We've kind of done this for years. You go back to when you started almost 20 years ago in coaching, right? In college.
Right.
When did the transition happen? Back then, did you see this guy? Was it like that, or was no? That guy's a strong side. That guy's a weak side. That guy's a nickel. That guy's a safety. I mean,
that's a good question, Sal. So, really. The first time it happened was, I think Sean Payton is really good. And if you remember back when he's with the Saints, I was with Carolina in 11 and 12. Really, the way he does things is in a really, really smart way. And, like, it's different personnel, but people are in different spots. But it's really the same formation. You follow me? So he could figure out if you were in base, what I'm going to do. He would be listening. They're going base. They're going nickel. And to the point, guy we had here who was a really good nickel in the league, Cap Munnerlyn, we felt like he was tough enough. And for me specifically, that's when I first started to realize, like, oh, okay. And, you know, Sean teaching me those type of things. And, like, look, he's just doing the same stuff out of different personnel groupings. You know, so, and he's looking for matchups. So, you know, that was the first time for me specifically when you're like, okay. And it was really the nickel position. I had to play like a linebacker.
What have you seen out of AJ and Vanessa so far this training camp, and what are you still looking for?
AJ's doing a real nice job. He's He's focused, and is showing that he wants to have a great year and help us win a Super Bowl. I mean, the thing with all these guys, and I'm going to keep saying I'm going to bore you guys to death, but is literally being able to stack days, right? We look at it as two ways. I tell the guys, you're either growing or you're dying a little bit every day. You're never staying the same. So the two sides of that is this. If you grew a little bit that day and you felt like, you know, you had a pretty good day, can you stack back-to-back days? And if you died a little bit in your game, well, that provides another opportunity for growth. So he's doing a good job of using that in a way that if he didn't have a great day, he's growing the next day. And he's really conscientious of his of the things that he needs to improve on, things we identified in the spring. And really, the thing about AJ right now, he's playing so selfless, you know, and that's it's really cool to see.
Now 2 days of pads in, Gable's first time wearing pads. What have you kind of seen from him and maybe his progression?
Yeah, Gable's doing a nice job. I mean, you think about it, he's never put shoulder pads on before. We had a couple guys on the team. One of the coaches was joking around that I think we have two guys that have never worn shoulder pads. You know, so he's done a nice job. He's got to continue to grow. He's extremely powerful, as we could all imagine, in a compact, more of a compact body. But he's very strong. He's very strong. He understands leverage, obviously. We know that. He won a gold medal for leverage, no, he's doing a nice job, and it'll be I'm excited to see him in game action. Anything else? Let me just say this. She's embarrassed, but Kaylee Woodward, she does a great job. She's in charge of me, and that's not an easy job. So she's great. She's great. Thank you, guys.
There you go, Bobby Babich, Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator earlier today. That was his pre-practice press conference there, getting you caught up on everything happening on the defensive side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, as it's interesting how he's talking about the different packages and the schemes, and it's, yeah, in how Sean McDermott was going against Sean Payton all those years, and that was you kind of forget that those two had a history there, and McDermott kind of bringing over those different packages here to Buffalo. So Bobby Babich goes all the way back to those days in Carolina.
We're going to take a break here and come back with our conversation from earlier with the host of the Locked On Bills podcast. That's Joe Marino, and he has some thoughts on what the Bills are doing here with the safety position, what we have left, what we have signed, what we could see here as far as the Bills' performance to the rest of training camp. We'll also talk about the sexiest of all the training camp battles, the wide receiver position battle. We know Marino has some thoughts on that as well. Joe Marino stopping by the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia next on The Fan. The best place to bet the games this summer is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Mike Danger for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 95.7 The Fan, because right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet on all your favorite international teams in all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton and soccer to swimming. FanDuel has it all. So don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Mike to sign up and start betting the games today. FanDuel.com/Mike. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit. Deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
We have less than a week here at St. John Fisher University. Camp's going to break coming up next Thursday. A hot one today, which Cole Bishop was not a part of. The rookie safety now officially week to week with a shoulder injury. Defensive coordinator Bobby Babich on what this means.
You know, finding different ways to make sure, although he's missing potentially some time here, is, you know, just making sure mentally he's staying in it. He's got the right makeup. We identify those guys. And knowing Cole, he'll do everything that he needs to do to make sure he's still in it mentally. And I know Joe will keep him along those lines too.
Next, it's the blue and the red scrimmage tomorrow night at Highmark Stadium. Next practice at Fisher coming up on Sunday morning. We'll talk to Joe Marino from the Locked On Bills podcast coming up next year in the sports bar. Simone Biles won the gold in the all-around gymnastics. Gene Battaglia live from Bills training camp here on the Fan Rochester.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. We are live from St. John Fisher University. It's Buffalo Bills training camp, and we're welcoming in our guest today, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, his annual visit into the sports bar live from Bills training camp. Joe, how have you enjoyed your time so far?
Always enjoy. Good to be here in the greater Rochester area, taking in the town. Everyone's been kind. The food's been good. The weather's been warm, and it's good to be back on with you guys.
Yeah, welcome back, Joe. And if we're looking at storylines here, as now we're past the midway point of camp, I think there's some concern at the safety position with some of the injuries. Now, these may not end up meaning much when we get to October, November, but right now it is a story, and I guess we'll start here. Like, what is behind DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp right now? Is there any guy that could possibly step up and earn on a spot on the 53 here?
I think it's pretty interesting because Sean McDermott told us the plan. He said the plan was for Mike Edwards to take the first team reps during this spring and go from there. Well, Mike Edwards wasn't available during the spring due to the shoulder injury, and the guy that got the opportunity was DeMar Hamlin. And anybody that attended any OTA practices will come away and tell you that DeMar Hamlin was one of the stars of that session. So he comes into camp, and he gets the first day as the first team safety, and then we see the rotation continue, right? Mike Edwards gets the next day, Cole Bishop gets the next day, and doesn't take very long for the attrition to come, right? And it's funny how the injuries tend to just compound at the same position for this team. And here we are with safety, the biggest question that this team had entering camp. Those questions have only intensified now that we have a couple of players that are injured in Bishop and Edwards. Now, Edwards is week to week, right? So, like, remember, it's August 1st. The Bills play on September 8th. So, like, he could come back in mid-August and ramp up and be ready to go, which would take them back to the original plan. But it feels like DeMar Hamlin's the kind of the forgotten piece as we talk about some of the guys that are falling out. DeMar Hamlin's the guy that took the first reps and has the most experience of any safety on this team in this defense. And so while the depth might be taking a hit, there's a real chance DeMar Hamlin, this is his job to lose, and he's still available.
So, Joe, talk about the two guys that have been brought in over the last couple of days here, in Burgess and in Kareem Jackson. What do these guys, what does Jackson have left in the tank at his age? And what do we know about Burgess, who's still a younger player? Are these guys that you just need to put on the, you need to put guys on the field during the preseason? Are they just camp bodies, or do they actually have a chance of latching on here?
The interesting one to me is Kareem Jackson, 36 years old, 190-plus game starter in the NFL. He's been starting since 2010, and he was a first-round pick in 2010. Started literally every year, including last season. Now, he had some trouble, right? He had, what, four fines for late hits by the end of October? That's concerning. But this is a guy that's a proven starter in the NFL. I don't think he came to Buffalo to run down the field on punt team, guys. I think he has to have some belief that he has a chance to be a meaningful piece of this defense. And so I'm paying close attention and to where he starts to fit in, what opportunities he gets, and what he does with those opportunities. So older player, but, I mean, even Bean said recently that they've tried to get him in the past. They tried to trade him.
Yeah.
And he said that about other players in the past, with Von Miller, Manuel Sanders, John Brown, guys that he tried to get. And then he eventually does. And now it's Kareem Jackson's turn. So I'm keeping an eye on that. Terrell Burgess is interesting as well because he's a young player that was a fairly high pick, a 2020 third-round pick. Now, the bad news is he's been on three teams since then, and that doesn't, you know, you're looking for a premium pick to stick, and he hasn't. But, you know, I had him graded as a third-round guy. He was a one-year starter at Utah, good athlete. He's got some length concerns, but I looked at him when I graded him coming out of Utah as a guy that could eventually start. I think that's why he was drafted where he was. It hasn't happened, but I think there's some untapped potentially there, but I think Kareem Jackson's really the story for me with the new additions at safety.
Yeah, Joe, you've been here a few days, and Cole Bishop was available for a few of those practices. And that's one of my questions about Cole Bishop here, because if you're spending that high a pick, I would assume the Bills are hoping that at some point, whether this season, whether it's week one next season, he's going to take that job. So how difficult is the safety position in the Sean McDermott offense? What does Cole Bishop have to do to earn that spot?
Well, Cole Bishop, it's interesting. Sean McDermott told us the plan for him as well. Well, we'll see what he can do. Maybe work him in on some packages. And at some point, we drafted him to be the starter. So it seems like a matter of time there. But I think for Cole Bishop, when you listen to some of the commentary from Coach Babich, Coach McDermott, it's very much getting down the communication, you know, being dialed in on earning the trust of the players around you as a player that from the back end is communicating forward. Those guys have to trust you. And I think time, right? Time on task is going to help Cole Bishop get up to speed to be the player that they drafted him to be. So forecasting his year one role is kind of challenging based on the competition, based on his own availability. But certainly the plan as a second round pick is a big deal for him to be a starter, especially when you consider Sean McDermott's history with the safety position, whether it's Philadelphia, Carolina, or Buffalo, and taking investments that weren't big investments and turning them into really good starters, whether that's Quentin Michael in Philadelphia, who didn't even start for like 3 years, became a Pro Bowler under McDermott in his first season. You go to Roman Harper, Kirk Coleman, Mike Mitchell. You go to Buffalo, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer is a seventh-round pick on his third team, and people said he had injuries concerns. Yeah. Turns into an all-pro. Micah Hyde, Packers didn't offer him an extension. So, like, if there's anything I give Sean McDermott the benefit of the doubt with, it's the safety position. And as far as nuances it might be, it feels like he does a good job of getting guys up to speed.
So you mentioned Micah Hyde, and I think the Micah Hyde conversation is an interesting one. And it might be just as simple as they didn't reach out to Micah Hyde because they know Micah Hyde doesn't want to be here, doesn't physically want to be at training camp, and maybe Micah Hyde is A.J. Klein version 2.0, the guy that you have on speed dial that knows the defense, that if you need him and he's in shape, he can be a part of the team like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the plan, or do you think signing these two guys over the course of the last couple of days tells you all you need to know about how the Bills are feeling about Micah Hyde's health right now?
2 months ago, I think you filed away Micah Hyde, and you thought, yeah, you know, if needed, you give him a call. Feels like we're there, guys.
Right? Yeah.
Feels like it's time to make the phone call. I think it's a good point, though. I mean, does Micah Hyde at this point in his career, does he want to be here at training camp? Probably not, right? So I think if Micah Hyde's going to be an option, it's later. And I don't know if later means when they break camp in a couple weeks before the opener or later means somewhere in the middle of the season. You know, it's hard to know what his appetite is. I think it's very meaningful that you know, he's had the injuries that he's had and some of the concerns that come with it. And even last season, late in the year, stingers, having to go out for a few plays, you kind of hold your breath every time. And we're not even Micah Hyde. You know, he's a human with a young family. And I'm sure there's a lot for him to weigh in that decision. And so I don't know when or if Micah Hyde wants to play. But I guess for as long as the door remains open, we should talk about it. And it feels like the longer it remains open and Micah Hyde doesn't come out and say, I'm retired, I think it's a worthwhile talking point. And it almost feels like the longer that goes, the more likely it feels like it could happen.
Joe, what is your level of optimism for this Bills defense? Because we look at last season, and Terrell Bernard had only 4 games with Matt Milano. Terrell Bernard, when it mattered most, I mean, couldn't be there for the playoff game. You're down to Tyler Matakavich. So the idea that this unit overall is more healthy, what is your level of optimism right now?
It's pretty fascinating because there is so much transition, at safety, right? And that's been such an important part of this defense for so long. And so there's that piece of it that feels unknown to me that gives me some level of pause. But I think the success of this defense in 2024 is going to be tied to how good can this defensive line be, how good can this pass rush be. I think that's been the problem with the defense. It's been very good statistically speaking, but it feels like in those big moments, sometimes in the regular season and always in the postseason, guys are just not taking over those moments and creating those pressure and getting those big negative plays in key situations. And so, you know, does Greg Rousseau take that step? Does Von Miller have juice, right? It looked kind of good, right? We're feeling good about that. We got to see it happen. Can Ed Oliver build off of that big breakout season? A.J. Epenesa, can he take those flashes and be consistent and do it over more volume and do it in the postseason, right? I think that's what it comes down to. And so that's the X factor for me on defense. I think there's been reasons to be optimistic, but we got to see it. And I think that closer, for all the conversations that people have about number one receivers and that being the missing element, I for me, it's who's the number one pass rusher? Who's the guy that is dictating pressure schemes and dictating protection schemes from the opposition? And when it's long and late downs, they've got to figure out how to deal with that guy. And because they have to deal with that guy, all these other guys get those opportunities. I think that's what it's going to come down to. And hopefully either one of those things happens that I said or a combination of all of them do, and you get the pass rush that you're looking for.
I know that he's not going to be a double. I'd be surprised if he's a double-digit sack guy for us, but he's a name, and he's still got a lot of, you know, years in front of him in the NFL, and that's Dwayne Smoot,
yeah,
that the Bills kind of brought in. And quietly here, he's had himself a pretty nice camp. He's versatile. They're using him all over the place, all over the defensive line. What was your scouting report on Dwayne Smoot coming in?
I've been in on Smoot for a while. Every year I do a mock offseason, so before it all happens on Lockdown Bills, I'll go through and I'll say, okay, these are the moves I think Brandon Bean should make. And it's not necessarily predictive. It's like, hey, if I got to do this, this is what I would do. And I feel like for the last couple of years, I've been in on Smoot as a really good fit. And I think he can really elevate that Shaq Lawson role. And I had a lot of respect for Shaq Lawson. I think he's a fundamentally sound player, defends the run, good contained rusher. But the pass rush juice wasn't always there. I think that Smoot gives you all the fundamental play, but a little bit more pass rush ability. And I think he's been a really solid player for Jacksonville. Kind of unfortunate last season. It felt like a down year. He's coming off of an Achilles, 2 years removed. He's not 35 years old.
Yeah.
So I have some optimism for him as a 30-35% of the snaps player that allows you to get the most out of Von Miller, right? We don't need Von Miller playing first and 10, right? We don't need Von Miller playing third and 2 from the 5-yard line. You need him on long and late downs, and I think the presence of a Dwan Smoot helps you do that.
Yeah, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, is our guest. Let's go over to the offense, and of course, every year fans look at the wide receivers. This year, it's particularly interesting, but at the back end of the roster, part one of the question is, Mac Hollins a lock to make this roster, yes or no? Part two, if we're assessing the competition, I think it's fair to say that Claypool, if he's not on the field, he's got to do something here to step it up. So when you're kind of assessing, all right, has MVS done enough here to earn a spot here, or just his resume earns him that spot? And how much are you buying into the Tyrell Shavers hype here at this point?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I would say Mac Hollins roster lock and get ready for whoever makes the jerseys to start stitching up a C.
You'd be a special teams captain, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd be surprised if that didn't happen. So Stone Cold Lock, and I mean, not only just like the special teams, this guy's getting first team run. A lot of it, Josh Allen's throwing in the ball down the field. Like, I don't know how much volume is going to be there, but there will be a meaningful role.
Just quickly on Hollins, because I look at his production in his time in the NFL, and look, it's not inspiring. He has one season where he had over 20 receptions. Derek Carr throwing the ball that year in Vegas or with the Raiders.
Yeah.
So maybe it is just a function of him having bad quarterbacks. Do you think that's the case? And Josh Allen throwing Mac Hollins football this season means a higher volume for or a higher production for Mac Hollins?
Yeah, Hollins is interesting because there's a lot of hype around him, but you're right. He's north of 30 and hasn't really had a whole lot of meaningful production in the NFL. Simultaneously, it feels like the hype that he's generated here, he's done with all of his stops, including going back to North Carolina, where I followed him very closely in North Carolina, special teams captain and bringing all those X-factor elements to the table. So, yeah, I think there's probably a good reason to pump the brakes there, and that's why I don't know that there's a ton of volume. But if he's a 30 to 50 target guy, plays 300 snaps of special teams, blocks, you know, you think about the Gabe Davis role.
Yes.
And I don't know that one guy does it, but I think maybe Mac Hollins and MVS and Keon Coleman kind of split that up, and you are able to get what you got out of Gabe Davis, who played 80-plus percent of the snaps. You kind of spread that around, and you get everything out of that. So I think Mac Hollins is going to have a meaningful role. I don't know that it's 70, 80 targets, though. As for the other parts of this conversation, yeah, I think Chase Claypool, he's got to be available. He has to do things to make this team because it's pretty competitive. And I think the important thing to acknowledge here is that the Bills only rostered 5 receivers last year. That's it, 5. It was Diggs, Davis, Shakir, Hardy, and Sherfield, and sometimes they would call up Andy Isabella from the practice squad. So it's funny we're talking about who's wide receiver 6. Is there going to be a wide receiver 6?
Yeah, right.
So with me, my belief that Hollins is a lock, I think you have Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, Hollins, and then the 5th guy. And is it MVS? Well, MVS has got a fully guaranteed contract with 4 void years on the back end of it. They didn't sign him with any intent other than for him to make the team, and he started to get some first-team reps in the last practice. So we'll see how that ramps up. I think there's a known commodity component to him, but the downside is he doesn't play a lick of special teams. It's your wide receiver 5's got to play special teams, right? Introducing Tyrell Shavers, who feels like the hot name, the UDFA that's doing everything he's supposed to do. Joe Brady, Babich, or not Babich, Bean, all the B's here. Bean, Brady, Dawkins the other day is hyping this guy up, talking about consistency, versatility, first guy in, last guy out, knows the offense. Those are big words for Sean McDermott to say about a guy. And it feels like there's a lot of momentum for him to potentially be the wide receiver 5. So if it's 6 receivers, I think the conversation's pretty easy. But if it's only 5, it's the guy's doing everything we want him to do, UDFA, great story for the locker room, okay, or the proven commodity that has guaranteed money.
Go back to MVS for a second and talk about that contract, because out of all the guys that we've been talking about at receiver, he feels like the guy that's been – I mean, we could talk about KJ Hamler making more plays at camp than we've seen out of MVS so far. So what is it about MVS what about that contract, and is it a lock that he is on this team when it comes down to cutdown day?
Well, I think it's always – good process when you're trying to figure out roster decisions in the NFL to follow the money, right?
Yeah.
Like they sometimes teams tell you what they're going to do based on contract structures, and I think that applies to MVS. 1-year deal, $2.25 million, fully guaranteed. So that's the intent. Plus 4 void years tacked onto the back of that deal. There's plenty of reason to believe that they intend on him making the roster. It's what it's going to come down to is numbers. Do they want a 10th offensive lineman? Do they want a 6th defensive end? Do they want a 5th defensive tackle? Do they want a 5th safety? You can't have it all. You can't have it all.
Right.
And so with them last year rostering 5 receivers, it kind of leads me to believe that could be the case again here. I mean, there's been a lot of talk. I remember a couple of years ago we talked about, the Bills roster 7 receivers.
You're right.
And it was the year that they led the league in 10 personnel. They only rostered 6. So year after year, they tell us that they roster a little bit lower at that position than we anticipate. So I think it's fascinating. But MVS, I mean, the most compelling thing, it's not necessarily what he's doing on the field. It's the contract that leads you to believe that he could be a factor here. And plus, I mean, this guy's got – he's been on deep postseason runs. For the inconsistency that exists with MVS, I mean, do the Chiefs win the Super Bowl last year without some of those plays that he made down the field? I think that matters in this equation outside of what we could see on the practice field.
Yeah, Joe Marino, our guest. And I feel like the guy that we kind of overlook in this offense, maybe because he's been here, just so dependable, is actually Dawson Knox. And we had Jim Miller, a former NFL quarterback, on with us. He works now nationally for Sirius. He says the secret for the Bills' offense is to run more 12 personnel. He actually expects that when really it's not exactly 12 personnel with the way you would use Dalton Kincaid. Is that actually something you could see that after all these years about talking, running two tight end formations, that could actually end up being more of a base offense for Buffalo this year?
I think they wanted it to be last year, and when Knox was available, it was. Of course, when he got injured and then Kincaid missed one game with a concussion, it kind of like in the middle of the season, while you're trying to like hit your stride as an offense, that starts happening. Then you switch your coordinators. We never got to see what I believe the Bills wanted their offense to be when they were putting it together this time last year. But I do think that Knox is an X factor, and he's a handsomely paid tight end. And whether it's blocking and playing in line that allows Dalton Kincaid to be freed up, or using his versatility as well and having a lot of big bodies on the perimeter, Dawson Knox is going to play a lot. I think he'll play 60% of the snaps on offense and probably catch 30 to 50 passes. And Dawson Knox has got a lot of touchdown production as well that's kind of overlooked for this football team. In fact, he's pretty close to knocking on the door of Pete Metzelaar for being the number one tight end in the history of the Bills for touchdown reception. So I don't think he can be overlooked. I think he's an important piece of the offense being structurally what they want it to be. So I don't know if the huge volume is going to be there, but I think he matters.
So, Joe, given that the Bills are carrying the second most dead cap in the league, given that the production of Stephon Diggs has left the building, do they have enough on this roster, on this offense, to replace that production and be as productive as they've been through the Josh Allen era?
I think it's going to look different. I think that's the number one thing here is, you have over 300 targets from last year vacated with Diggs and Davis, and the list goes on. Of course, those are the two highest volume pieces of that. And so I don't think it's going to look the same. I don't think you're going to have a situation where you're funneling 150, 160 targets to Stephon Diggs. It's going to be spread the ball around a little bit more. And I think that's a fascinating idea for Josh Allen to approach running this offense. Just play, right? Run the play. It's not about where Diggs is and where you start your eyes based on where Diggs is. It's run the play. And I think that the everybody eats idea is definitely something that they're embracing. I think the production distribution is going to look different. I think the way the offense looks is going to be different. But I think there's enough pieces here and there's enough depth that I think the expectation should be very high that the Bills' offense should be, once again, one of the better offenses in the league. And they got Josh Allen. Josh Allen gets a lot of first downs and a lot of touchdowns, right, at a higher clip than anyone else. So it might look and feel different, but I think this offense has what's necessary for them to continue to be a top-performing unit.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, also doing a lot of draft work, too. Have you already started doing homework here for 2025, Joe?
It soon enough, we'll start to look at that a little bit. But, yeah, appreciate that. We also do the Locked On NFL Scouting podcast, where ties together some of the draft work that I do in NFL discussions at large.
Now, I was telling Joe off the air, I'm a Fubo guy, and I was scrolling deep into the channels. They give you so many channels to look through. And I'm like, oh, Locked On has a channel, like the Locked On channel. I flip over to it, and there's Joe doing your scouting, your NFL scouting, show with another guy. I'm like, Joe Marino is everywhere.
Appreciate that, guys. Trying to stay in this space as long as I can, so I appreciate all the opportunities.
Doing a great job. Locked On Bills podcast is a must-listen for Bills fans. We encourage you to check it out, the free-to-download Odyssey app. Joe, safe travels. Thanks for making time for us
today.
Thanks,
guys. Appreciate it as always.
Joe Marino stopping by the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, our conversation earlier today here on The Fan Rochester.
Yeah, as he's good to kind of lean on when it comes to the details of the X's and O's and everything else. I'll say this about Josh Allen. If you have an offense that matches the production and you get wins, he's in the conversation for the league MVP, is he not? If you take away Diggs and Allen somehow becomes better. I heard Bart Winkler on our show yesterday call it addition by subtraction. If that's the case, I think there's a lot you can be encouraged. I think this Bills offense is actually going to be just fine. It's the safeties, it's the back end, it's the pass rush, it's all those things that right now I just kind of got some questions entering the season.
We're going to talk to Bill's Swiss Army knife, Cam Lewis. If you missed our conversation with him from earlier, that's coming up as part of Happy Hour, which is on the way next.
Do you actually own a Swiss Army knife?
I do. It's with my camping gear. One of those things that has everything.
Ah,
in it. It has like
okay.
a little toothpick in it, like a little plastic toothpick even in it that like slides in there. Yeah, the scissors, the whole thing, all in one little neat compact package. Yeah, I've got one with my camping gear.
My son has one. I want one.
You got to get one.
Yeah, I
got to
get one.
Keep that in mind for Christmas. Christmas is will be here before we know it, Gino. But anyways, Cam Lewis will be stopping by, and we'll talk a little bit about his role. It's one that's hard to define because he kind of does everything they ask him to do on the defensive side of the ball. We'll learn more about him and the camp that he's having so far. We've got a round of shots coming up in the sports bar. We have time for your calls at 866-4326, and we'll recap today's practice, day 7 here at St. John Fisher University, plus a little bit of NFL news to get to as well, including an injury to a franchise quarterback that will see him miss the month of August. All coming up on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.